This is the real thing. Is it a heavy topic? It's an uppercutter on the chin. Just that you will be challenged. I mean, come on, let's just be honest, that you will not walk out of here the same. So in terms of the test, it's the test in life. It is not like when, not that I know much about this, but like when a computer programmer writes a program, and then at certain point he tests it, right? And my wife does this, and then it goes kaboom, and it throws out all sorts of, you stupid, you don't know what you're doing. That's what it says to me in any case. And my wife doesn't even like twitch. She goes, oh, okay, and she fixes it, and then she runs it again. And she teaches children doing this, of which I'm not one. If I want something done, I can liffy. Sort it out. In any case, you know, that's the privilege of being married. Or like when an engineer develops something, you know, there's a testing phase. When they develop cars, you know, they crash test it. They develop it. I'm just glad I'm not a crash dummy in that thing, because it depends on, yeah, how many times do you do that? So unfortunately in life, we don't have that privilege where we can crash test life. You know, today I think this is a good thing. Rewind. All right, maybe let's try again. You know, you really want to ask this girl to go out with you, and then, oops, okay, rewind. Let's try again. Well, I really like her, so let's do it. Or you want to ask her to marry her, which is a better thing, okay? But you just walk up to her and say, so let me throw. I see the ladies. They say, James, take a hint. You're not going to do that one. It's like, okay, maybe organize a sunset hot air balloon cruise, you know, with champagne. And I say, listen, guys, it's wisdom speaking here. All right? It's not what I did, though. We lived in Johannesburg, and Laurette's biggest desire was to get engaged on the beach. Now, where the heck do you find a beach out there? You know how much money it cost me at that stage to get engaged? I had to get it down to Cape Town, and we actually got engaged in Blouberg Beach on the 25th of December, 92. I'm remembering, eh? Scanning this. All right, so what it was, but we don't get this crash test thing. We don't get this. This is the real thing. Who of you have noticed that this life thing is real? I've got one person that acknowledged. Okay, I'll tell you what. That's it. I only speak to you. But we actually don't get this. There's no do-over. If you've messed it up, you've messed it up. The best you can actually do is go and say, sorry. But it doesn't necessarily undo what you've done. Okay, this is the real thing. And this is where we, as the people of God, need to wake up. So my question is, if this is the real thing, how can we get this right the first time? I mean, really, I would like to know this. I honestly would like to know, how do I actually never in my life make a mess again? That would be nice, right? Okay? Especially those ladies that want to get married, you must say amen. Because you really want him to do it the right the first time, okay? Blow you off your feet and all that stuff and you know, pull out all the yards. Gents, I do give classes on weekends. I'm not cheap. You know what I mean? It's weird. All right. Okay, so many of us have already started. I mean, it's scary to think that we are at the 10th of January. I was just having New Year. I'm still eating that piece of meat and here's the 10th already. We need to look like we want to work already. You know, this is crazy. I'm still on holiday. I mean, I have to wear long pants, which for the last 3 weeks, long pants, psh, who wears long pants? In any case, but here we are. We are here. We've got our plans. We've thought about this year. How many of you thought about this year? Okay, if you haven't, it's okay. We'll forgive you. Don't think about this year. But you know, you've thought about this year, you've said, okay, God, I'm trusting you for this or that. I really hope you've done this. And you say, okay, God, I can see you doing this in my life, and this is where I want to go, and this is sort of and when we've got these plans. But some of us, again, and it's interesting, both this morning and now, people were praying for people that are burdened and has come into this year basically with a yoke on their shoulders, and it's already heavy, and I'm thinking, in January, really, you can't be like tired already now and have issues that are like squeezing you down. But the reality is, you know, there's some of us that is coming to this year. Now, if you've gone into this year and it's whoop-de-doo, and you've had a great and an awesome start to this year, then you know, looking back, if you look at 2015, you probably started the same way, but it turned out that way. Not necessarily. Because in 2015, there was stuff in your life that you had to face, that you had to look at and say, this is not so lekker. I'm not enjoying this. But God, how do we go through this? Okay, so we want to look down 2016, and we want to say at the beginning of this year, God, how do we do this? How do I get to the end of this year being victorious, being more than a conqueror, you know, still can kick down the door, I don't know what else, I'm trying to think of very violent movies to get some ideas, but it's empty. In any case, what we want to get at the end, we want to be victorious. How do we do that? And it's interesting, if I listen to the words, and even the worship that we've had tonight, I mean, Theo's word about the stethoscope is exactly what I feel God is doing at this time. Where he's coming in, he's putting that stethoscope in our lives, and he's saying, but what is going on in here? What is this heartbeat sounding like? So, for us to know, how can we get through this year, the best thing would be, you can go on one. Who knows what that stands for? What would Jesus do? I thought you might remember this one, so I put it up there. In any case, what would Jesus do? I think Jesus is, it's a good place to start. Or is it a good place to finish? No. Start and finish. Okay, so I think Jesus got this down. He's the man. We understand that he died for us, and he's done some incredible things for us. But I think in order for us to understand, how do we get to the end of this year? How do we get through this next week of wanting to look like we're working and actually being more than conquerors? Now, it's interesting to note in Matthew 12:28, there's a scribe that comes up to Jesus. Now, just to give you a bit of context, in this chapter, there's this bunch of scribes, or the Pharisees they're raving Jesus with questions. Like, what about this and what about that? And the one question they asked was, you know, Jesus, if, you know, in their culture, if a wife, a woman got married and the husband died without them having children, then the brother would take over. To keep his name alive. Okay, that was his purpose. Now, there were seven brothers, but all of seven of them dies without her having kids. So the guy's question is this, but Jesus, when she gets to heaven, whose wife is she going to be? Which I would have, the woman probably went, oh, I never thought of that. In any case, That is sort of the context. If you want to know the answer to that, go read it. Cool. So we've got them, this scribe coming to Jesus, and he's heard this, and every time Jesus answers them, he goes, wow, that's a cool answer. I mean, Jesus really knows his stuff. He's got this answer down, and here he comes and he says, okay, Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? Now, I would say that's a loaded question. I mean, that is like, he's not even just saying, what is an important commandment? He's saying, what is the most important one? Now, if you think about this, the Israelites and Deuteronomy, if you go read that book, I mean, there's a lot of instructions. There's a lot of commands. Have you read that book? It's not fun reading. You shall slaughter that dove and you shall kill this whatever, scorp. Man, my English is gone. It's holiday's fault, sorry. sheep. I'm feeling sheepish, you know. Anyway, guys, moving right along. Then in verse 29, Jesus answered him, says, okay, now listen. The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Ka-ching. What an answer. Now listen, if like Jesus would have said, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Because Jesus is giving us a very big key here on how to live our lives successfully, how to go through this year victoriously, how to have a life that's not necessarily simple or easy, but it's giving us a big key on how to go through this. Right, so I want to break this down for you a bit. And the first thing, what I just wanted to say there as well is, he's not saying this is an important commandment. He's also classifying it under the most, which should tell us something. That this is a very important thing that we need to listen to. Now just think of that stethoscope. Jesus is coming, God is coming, and he's putting that stethoscope on the heart and he's saying, what am I hearing? Okay? So the first thing he says is the Lord is one. Now we understand that our God is God the Father. Okay, God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. But he's saying here that that our God is one. You need to love the Lord your God because he's one God. He's not saying that you can love the Father only. He's not saying that you can love the Son only. He's not saying that you can love the Holy Spirit only. He's saying we have one God. Yes, he's three, but he's one. And you love him as one. That means that you are intimate with all three of them. Okay? So he says that off the bat. He just clears that out. He says, listen, our God is one God. Klar. Right? Then the next one, he says, with all your heart. Now, the Greek word here is cardio. I hope I pronounced that right. Which basically means from your middle, from your center, from your life source, from your core. From the very middle of who you are, you need to love God in that way. Listen, what happens if your heart stops pumping? Really? Instantly. Okay? So in this way, when we say, God, I love you with all my heart, you are saying everything. If this love stops, then I'm dead. So I'm loving you, God, with all my heart, everything that I am. Now, just think, maybe a deep thought, you can go ponder on this, but the center of who you are, you need to love God from that. The very essence of who you as a person are, that is what God wants. Okay? The second one, he says, with all your soul, which we know is your mind, your will, and your emotions, right? Okay. By the way, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. Okay, so with your mind, in order for us to love God with our mind, in Romans 12 he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So in order for us to love God with our mind, it doesn't help we read the paper every day. Because the paper is full of stuff that's not necessarily from God. In actual fact, I guarantee you almost that if you read the paper every day, you're going to hit the Deborah goeie baie vinnig. If you read it prayerfully and discerning what God wants to seek or want you to pray into, that's maybe different. But I tell you one thing, you just read the paper, that thing is depressing. This is your huisgenoot. All right, I haven't read the Eisgenoot in years. I'm scared of that thing, to be quite honest. Okay. But we need to renew our minds. We need to align the way that we think, well, we thought, hey, this is heavy. This is now new language. We thought, okay, we need to align how we think with how God thinks. And we need to love Him through that. Just think of that. I'm loving God through the way that I'm thinking. What are you thinking about? Then there's a little verse which I'm sure many of you don't do often, but you should actually do it often. Which in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, where he says, take every thought captive. You see, because your thoughts that you're going to have are not necessarily lined up with God. It's not necessarily in this process of loving God. And those things we need to take captive and say, "Wah, you ain't coming in here. And I'm bringing you under the obedience of God, and I'm not submitting to you." Klar. Right. So you've got that in your mind. Then submit your will. And yet Jesus gave us an example. In Luke 22 verse 42, he says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Now listen, you're going to make decisions. You're going to get into situations. I don't know what's going to happen in your life this year. But there's going to be times where your will, you're going to engage that thing. You're going to make decisions through that. Now may in your will, through that process, you be in a place where you can love God, and where other people can actually see that you're loving God through engaging your will. Okay? And then emotions, ladies. Yes, they're very emotional beings. Let's just get that straight. I mean, come on. But we should not allow our emotions to stand between us and God. We should take We should take those emotions. You know, when she said, "No, I'm not marrying you." What happens? Lorette didn't do that to me, but her father did. First time I asked him to marry her, he just said, "No." That was simple. At least I knew where I stood. And I tell you one thing now, I mean, hitting the plank is inevitable. It's like, what? Oh, look, I'm the man. How can you say no to me? Really? Come on. Yeah. Okay, so if a girl said no to you, sugar winner, you know, your emotions would take you on a ride. But you see, you have a choice. Even in that situation, to allow your emotions to take you on this complete joyride, which must probably take you away from God. Am I right? How many of you have let your emotions take you on this place where you end up sulking, going for first prize and actually getting it? All right? Been there, done that. I wanted to ask a girl out, and just as I was about to do it, my brother did it. I mean, hello. That was Biki Stara. Okay, never mind. Not relevant. Okay? But even in all of these situations, we should get the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible says. We have the mind of Christ. And we need to apply that in this. Okay? So we need to love God with our soul. And then the next one, which is interesting, it says, love Him with your mind. No one back. You can't reveal the next one already. Rewind. Strength should not be there. Thank you. No. Okay, that was too far back. In any case. Now you know the secret. All right. In any case. It's interesting. Gaan dit nie baie goed hierson nie. All right, stop. Okay, stop die lorry. It's interesting to note where Jesus quotes this in Mark. He adds mind. Because in Deuteronomy, I'll say, which is the original text that he's quoting from, it does not have mind in. Okay? It's love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Mind was not there. Jesus adds this. And I believe he adds this, and as I've read the commentaries, they agree that Jesus adds this because he understood that this is where we're going to face the biggest battle in our lives. Jou kop gaat met jou mors. Né? Who of you didn't sleep last night because you were thinking about stuff? Okay, don't put up your hands. Wasn't it all? Anyway, guys. So Jesus obviously discerned that our mind, our thinking, our thought processes is going to be between us and God. It will either take us to God or it's going to take us away from God. Now it says this, you need to love God with your mind. Which should give us a key in saying, Lord, what is going on in you? There's some of us here that need to take authority of the stuff that is going on in this grey stuff up here. And not allow them to any longer determine who you are. You see, if we don't align with the Word of God, we're not going to know who we are. If you don't know who you are in Christ, how can you walk out this year victorious? If you are the paper, the newspaper, who are you going to be at the end of 2016? I think one big groot gemors, red. You're going to stress about everything. We had friends that I really considered him to be my spiritual father, and they gave a lot of input in our lives. But at a stage in their lives, they started looking at what is going on around them. And listen, there's a lot going on around us, right? Who if you want to leave South Africa? Any case, at that stage there was a lot going on in our land as well, and the two of them basically, instead of who I knew them as this man and woman of faith, started looking out on what's going on around them. To the point where they actually sold everything. House, the katoots, alles. Took that money, and they wanted to head off to Australia. Long story short, they couldn't go for various reasons. So they decided to put all their money in some company somewhere overseas because now it's safe there, it's not going to do anything and it's going to be fine. And then the whole stock market crash thing happened. You know the company that they put their money in? Nothing. The two of them ended up with a zilch. Nothing. But I'm glad to report that currently they are serving God again. They've lifted their eyes from what has happened. You know, she was so bad that if you went to visit her, all she kept talking about was the crime statistics in the area. She could literally tell you where it was being broken into and what's happened. That's the level of fear that was in her life. And Loretta and I sat there looking, thinking, how has this happened? But you see, they have allowed their minds to get stuck on what's happening. Now I can tell you this, secret, it's a great secret. If you're going to only listen to what's happening around you today, you know what? You're going to be there too. You might even be worse off. But you see, if you don't align your mind constantly, loving God through your mind, what you're thinking about, what you're studying, what you're reading, all these things, you might be in the wrong place. I'm not saying don't study and stuff, because there's a place where you also need to take some thoughts captive if necessary. But we need to be aware of what God is saying in the season, all right? And then the last one is with all your strength. All the men does this. Okay, so. Yeah, man, you're cheap. We want a few things moved, so I just wanted to check who's fresh, and so we can move a few things in the week. Any case. But with all your strength, this is who you are, your body, you know, all your muscles, that we want to use to love God with. Now, okay, gents, that does not mean you hit the gym and you need to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger next week, okay? That's not what I'm saying. It's maybe a good thing, but in any case, I just come to realize that even this body that I'm living in, everywhere that I go, I need to love God in such a way that even through my presence, people will be able to see Him. My strength, my abilities, everything that I am, I need to love Him through that. I need to walk on this earth in such a manner with this body that they can see Christ in me. which is important. Now, I tell you what, now this is personal, but I realized, Mr. Mayor, that means you better jog or do some form of exercise. I finished army in 1990, and my basics ended in 1988. It's a long time terug. And at the end of my basics, that's the last time that I jogged. I haven't jogged for longer than most of you are alive. Here's my unique physique, you know. Well, what's his name? Garfield says this is how he flicks fat. I'll say, you got it. Right, in any case, so please delete that from the message. All right. Hoe kom ek daar gegaan? In die case. Right, so the point is this. Next one. The point is this. Jesus is basically saying, you cannot compartmentalize your worship to him. You know, now in the Christian world, we tend to focus on the Spirit. We're loving God with our spirit. We're walking in the Spirit. We're doing all these things in the Spirit. But you cannot compartmentalizing this. He says, I want to love you. You want you to love God in all of these areas, not just one. You see, because we fall into the habit of just doing it in one place. Because if I love God in my spirit doesn't necessarily go to the work, which is not true. But in any case, if I don't live out what I'm experiencing in my spirit in my workplace, how will they know that Christ is alive? Okay? If my mind is not renewed and I sit in a discussion with someone, how will they know that God is alive? If not through my testimony and what I'm saying. You see, I cannot, just as I cannot worship or love God as the Father only, so I cannot just worship Him from one part. I need to worship God from my entire being, or everything that I am, not part of who I am. And if you're going to love God with everything that you are, don't tell me this year is not going to look different. See, but this is a challenge. Because you know what? No, this is going to cost you. But the Bible speaks about the man starting to build something and having not counted the cost, and end up not being doing and becoming the laughingstock. This is the beginning of 2016. You have now to make a decision. You don't have the 31st of December yet. You only have now. This is where we make the hard decisions, right now. You see, because we need to understand, we don't have 10 seconds from now. We don't have 10 minutes. We don't have tomorrow. You cannot say, I will make this decision later, because you have to make it now. God is interested in your moment-by-moment obedience. Yeah. Okay? And then just to give a bonus, Jesus adds the following, which he quotes from, I can't remember the book, Leviticus, I'll say. And he says this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, these two things are the greatest commandments. So you need to love God, I need to love God with everything that I am. And once I start doing that, it will manifest in this happening, where I will love my neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Not the guy that stays next to you in the street or the dorm or wherever. It's the people that you encounter. There's a Samaritan. Finds a Jew. Jews hate Samaritans. What does he do? If you haven't read the story, go read it. He takes him to a hotel, pays for all his medical bills for the Jew now, and says, I will return it. If there's anything short, I will even pay that again. For a guy who hates him. Freaks me out. How many people hate you? Hopefully not many. Hopefully it's yellow lacquer means. Okay? In 1 John 4 verse 20, we read this. If anyone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he is a liar. That's not me that's saying that. But how can you say that you love God and you do not love your neighbor, you do not love your brother? You know, the Bible speaks about we need to do good, especially to the household of faith, but we also need to do good to those that are out there. That is how they will know that God exists. It's through you and me daily interacting with Him. But you see, if you do not love God, if you do not spend time in His presence, how can people see that? How will they see that in you? You need to go tank up every day in the presence of God. You cannot afford to run on empty. Because you do not know who you're going to encounter that day, who needs the love of God that's going to be displayed through you in their lives. So you cannot afford to say, I'm going to sleep late. Discipline your body, your strength, who you are. I need to love God through this. So I'm disciplining this thing to get up. Yes, and Buti, ek doen dit nie maklik nie. I don't know if you morning person, Marcia is congratulations. Me and getting up in the morning, I mean, how the world state secrets to in order to avoid that. Okay? So don't put me in a government position. In any case, so then how can we ensure that the end of this year, sounds like a New Year's message, but it's not. Just want to encourage you. How can I ensure that I get to the end of this year and I am victorious? It's that last slide. Put God first in everything you do and say. Put Him first in your plans. Put Him first in your finances, your marriage, your kids, your family, your fiancé, your almost fiancé, your fiancé that's still to come, the girl that you're dating. Right. Okay, I think I've covered all of it, eh? Hope so. Any case, put Him first in how you deal with others. Can I be honest with you? Having been in business, when a guy walks up to you and says, how's it? And you know, he says, but I'm a Christian businessman, then I'm already like, Because so many people out there that will say that out bluntly is the very person that's going to do this dodgy work. So put Him first in how you deal with others. That's anybody. Okay? Love Him first with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. So how do you make sure you are victorious? There's only one way. Allow Him to put the stethoscope on your heart and listen. And say, ooh, this beat is not so lekker. Can we fix this? My son, my daughter, I want you to do this. You know what? God, even through the worship and the words that's been shared tonight, He's saying, I want you to draw closer to Me. And there's many of you that maybe might be sitting here and you're struggling with that thing, thinking, how can I get close to God? But listen, it's something that the Bible describes when He says, when a man comes to a field, he finds a treasure, he realizes this is an awesome thing, he goes away, sells everything just to get that treasure, to buy that land where that treasure is. If we become desperate for our God, who, by the way, died for us on the cross, He sent His Son to die for us. The Father actually allowed His Son to go. To die for you. That freaks me out. Axapa sent my son to die for you. Not a chance. This is your outlook. Yet the Father was going, I love the people down there. I'll send my son. And when Jesus left, He said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit and He'll teach you everything. Isn't that awesome? That even in this journey of learning to love God with everything, with all our heart, our mind, our strength, our soul, everything, He still says, I give you the Holy Spirit to teach you. Can I give you a secret? He's even put those that are sitting here around you to help you to do that. There are people who should be here tonight that is not here because those that are supposed to love them as Christ loves the church have abandoned them. There's people that should be here who you know, but you have stopped pursuing them and you've allowed them to make the wrong decisions, get into the wrong stuff, and that is wrong. If you know such a person that has left the faith because of I don't know what, don't stop pursuing them. You need to win that brother. Sometimes it's hard. Hey, I do this for a living. It's not always easy. But allow the love of God that is in you, that He deposits in you daily, to drive you, to serve those around us. Because through that love, people will experience life. Through that love, people's lives will be changed. In the same way, I think I can say this, people that's out there that should be here, but you have neglected to show them the love of Christ. Why? Because you maybe were not tanked up. I've done it. You don't mean to do it, but it kind of happens. So tonight, can I inspire you? Can I say that Jesus says this is the most important commandment, is that you love God as one. He is one Lord. The Lord is one. Love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then love your brother in the same way. Love your neighbor, those that are around you, in the same manner as you would love yourself. You know, we don't not like ourselves. You don't do your hair because it's good for someone else. You actually take care of yourself. And we need to love others as we love ourselves. But may we do that through the way that we love God tonight. Amen? Right, so can we just close our eyes quickly, because I think I would miss the opportunity or be wrong not to say tonight, if you are sitting here and this relationship with God that I'm describing, you have never engaged that. You have never come to the place where you have said, you know, Lord, I recognize you. I understand that you sent your son to this earth to die for me. And then I recognize you as both my Lord and my Savior. And I want to commit my life in serving you. If you are sitting here tonight and that is you, then obviously I would like to pray for you. But I don't know who you are. So don't you just want to do me a favor? If you're standing in that valley of decisions, if you're saying, God, I realize tonight that I need to love you with everything that is in me, but I'm not even in a place where I know you. I have not submitted my life to you. Don't you just want to raise your hand and indicate to me if you are here? Okay? Anybody else? This is a big decision. You see, because this influences all eternity. This influences your daily life. How you go in it, how you go through it. It's the most important decision of your entire life. So if you are sitting here and you have not given your life to Christ yet, please raise your hand. Don't delay. Okay? So Jesus died publicly for us. He didn't die somewhere in a cave. He said, here I am. I'll die in the highways and byways for everybody to see, for every human on this earth. He gave his life for you. So this is the last one. If you want to give your life to Christ, please put up your hand. Can we all stand? Okay, two people have made this decision, and we really want to pray with you. Would you do me a favor and just come into the front? They're just going to take you to the back, and I just want them to explain to you what this is about and just pray for you. Because this is not a decision that you do lightly. It's something that will transform and change your life, but it's also something that you as a person need to give your life to. So I want them just to take a moment just to explain to you this and then pray for you. And it's simple in giving your life to God. It's as simple as praying a prayer saying, God, here I am. I recognize that you've died for me on the cross, and I'm giving my life to you. But I want them to do it with you. So if you can take them there, they're just going to take you there to the back, and then just have a quick discussion with you. Is that okay? All right? Appreciate it. Come on, let's give them a hand. Now God is awesome, right? So now I want you to turn to someone quickly. Because you see, you need to make this decision, or at least say to someone, help. You know, because the people that are sitting here around you is supposed to help every one of us, or you at least, to get to this place of really fellowshipping with God, loving Him with all your heart. So I'm going to ask them to put on some music for us. So maybe have a seat. turn to someone quickly, and let's just pray through this. Let's just, you know, this is serious, guys. This not just touches this year, but it probably sets the tone for the rest of your life. So let's just pray through that quickly. Let's do that. My thinking is, how do I take this which was shared now? Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. That person needs to pray with you to, well, hopefully keep you accountable in every area of your life. Maybe someone that you trust that can walk with you in actually doing that. But you know, really just praying, because as we serve God, as we walk with Him, we need to actually get to that journey. Okay, engage that. So pray for one another in that you will be able to do that. You know what, then maybe if it's not in your life at the moment, just repent and say, God, I'm not serving you in this area. I've only served you in my spirit. I want to serve you in all the other areas as well. And let's just pray for that. Trust that as you pray together, you've also committed to maybe just keep one another accountable. You know, take stock every now and then and just saying, how are you doing with this? So can we just close with prayer, and then we're going to have some coffee, and if you want to pray some more, that's fine. But Father, we just come before you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you continually draw us through your love, and that your only desire, Father, is for us to love you with everything that is in us. Lord, may we truly heed this commandment that you've given us, expressing your heart's desire that you have for us to love you. So Lord, I pray for each one of us as we go from here. May you just help us to search ourselves inwardly and to recognize where we are falling behind, we are not doing this, and allow us, Father, through your Spirit, draw us closer so that we will just love you in every area of who we are. And Lord, my prayer is that as we love you, thank you that that love will just spread to those around you, around us, Father, that we will see many come to Christ, that we will see many lives transformed. Father, may people see Christ in us. May they see your love in us, Father. So I pray for each one of us sitting here today, Lord God, that you will stir a hunger and a thirst in our lives for you. May in this year, Father God, we hunger and thirst for you like never ever before. Stir our hearts, Father God, for like someone that has not had water for so long, may we thirst after you in that way, Father. Someone who's had salt, too much salt, and they're thirsty, Lord God, may we become like that to allow us to pursue you with everything that is in us. So I pray for your people as we go from here, Father God, may we do exactly that. Lord God, I thank you that your Spirit is here to help us, to teach us, to guide us, and to draw us closer to you. So I just pray your blessing over your people as we go. I thank you, Father, that you go with each one of them to their work and everything that they do, and that you bless them abundantly. And Father, I thank you that you are always with them. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.